It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Rubber with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Mart, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Xander has been piling up the RBIs here the last few weeks in particular.
High deep drive. Whoa! Watch that one carry totally out of Fenway. Line shot into right field. In to score Bennett's deep. In to score Holt. Jackie with a double. A ringing double. Hot shot. That's through for another one. That's going to keep on rolling all the way to the wall. Two runs will score. Betts rounding second, and he'll go back to the bench. Tag high and deep, headed to left, way up there, gone. A bullet by Devers, his 21st home run. Judge racing back to the track, it is gone. And by the way, it's the second time Sandy Leone has hit a home run against a position player. High deep drive left field, he has torched another one off the sign out there. Xander Bogaerts, home run number 23, that matches what he did all of last season. His second one tonight.
So it is a season high in runs and hits for Boston. Red Sox 19, Yankees 3.
19 runs, 23 hits for the Red Sox last night. They beat the Yankees 19-3 in a series opener at Fenway Park. That's where we're going to begin tonight, rather, on the Baseball Reporter, 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls up until 7 o'clock in what was a very loud win for the Red Sox at Fenway last night. Very, very loud win. Here's the question. Does loud matter? Does loud matter? Does the loudness of that victory translate into anything else? We had a couple of people call the afternoon show today, the Felger Mad Show. Mike was out, so Jim Murray was here, and Matt McCarthy to do headlines, and Matt has stuck around for the base reporters. So let me ask you, does last night's game open your eyes a little? Because I use this analogy all the time, or this example all the time. I watched the early part of that game last night with my dad, my father, who I like to think is a good barometer for the average Red Sox fan. And you know what my father said when the Red Sox were beating the crap out of the Yankees last night? He said, you know, if they sweep the Yankees, they're right back in it. Now, I think the division's gone, and I also think it's crazy to even talk about a sweep when all the Red Sox did is win one game, and they have Andrew Cashner going to the mound tonight against the Yankees. Okay, like, tonight reeks to me of blowback. And the Yankees coming back and smashing Cashner in the face and scoring 6 runs in the top of the first inning. Okay, that's sort of what tonight reeks to me of. But who knows? We all know the Red Sox are capable of playing at a higher level. It's been a long time since we've seen them beat the snot out of a team like the Yankees, like they did last night. And so that, to me, sure, it's a good sign. The question is, what are we going to be saying on Monday? That's the question. 617-779-0985. Matt McCarthy, you tell me. Were you impressed by the win last night?
How shall I say this, Maz? No. No, I mean, sure, it was a fun night. I was impressed. You know, they scored 7 runs in the first inning. That's great and all. I'm impressed by Bogarts. I'm impressed by Devers. Sure, that's fine. Talk to me on Monday, because this is baseball. Momentum is only as good as your next night starter, and tonight's starter sucks. It's Andrew Cashner, and you're now, 2-6 against the Yankees this year? I've seen this Red Sox team time and time again, Maz. Every single time I start to think, well, you know, all right, they're playing some good baseball. They're about to really kick it into high gear. Then they don't. Then they lose 2 out of 3, or they lose to a bad ball club. So what's going to happen the next 3 nights? They take this series, they go 3 out of 4, and they look good doing it. Maybe I start to feel a little bit differently on Monday, because this is the biggest series of the year. I'm not going to overreact to one game, though, because that Yankees team's not going to pack it in.
So, look, what I saw last night was entertaining.
Sure.
I mean, again, hard not to like what you saw last night. Guys smashing the ball all over the ballpark. And you don't often see this in a baseball game. The 2 biggest at-bats of the game were the first inning and a half.
They were.
First inning and a half. The Red Sox score 3 on the home run by Bogarts. 3 batters in. They're up 3-0. They've got the Yankees on the ropes. The base is loaded with 2 outs and Jackie Bradley at the plate late in the first inning, and it's either going to be 3-0 or 5-0. And you know what Bradley does? He yanks one into the corner. You go up 5-0. And then after that, Mookie Betts hits one into left center field, a ball that Gregorius probably should have knocked down. But whatever. If the Yankees can't make a play, that's their problem. Now it's 7-0. You went from 3-0 to 7-0 in the blink of an eye. And the Betts at bat wasn't the second most important at bat. Bradley was number 1. The second most important at bat came in the top of the 2nd. The Yankees rallied. They got 2 runs home. They had the bases loaded. Aaron Judge at the plate with 2 outs. And you know what happened? He had a fly ball to the warning track in center field. The Yankees threatened to come back into that game in the next half inning. It had London written all over it. And the Red Sox, Porcello got out of it without major damage. The Red Sox opened the game up in the 4th. They won. They went up 12-2, I think, at that stage. They end up winning 19-3. So, good win. Now, again, let me ask you, will you be shocked if they get their faces kicked in tonight? Will you be shocked if come Monday that they've lost 3 out of 4? Because I wouldn't. So as much as the game was entertaining, as much as it was a good sign, the reality is that this Red Sox team has kicked you in the nuts all summer. They've done it all summer long. So if you're getting geeked up over last night and they let you down, that one's on you. Like, that's sort of one of those things that they are what they are at this stage, and they're going to have to convince me otherwise. Matt, let me ask you a very simple question. But sure. That I shouldn't say is that simple, because it might be hard to answer, particularly given that I'm throwing it at you like out of nowhere.
Okay.
What do they have to do to win you back? You know, and when I say win you back, win back your trust for you to believe, you know what? Maybe they've turned a corner. What do they have to do?
They have to play extremely well over this 14-game stretch. And it starts with this series. You need to win 3 out of 4 against the Yankees to feel good going into the trading deadline, to maybe encourage Dave Dombrowski to go get a bullpen arm, because I think he needs some encouragement. He needs something to convince him that this team still is worth investing in. And then they need to play extremely well over the course of this 14-game stretch. This is the most critical stretch of the year. If they go 8-6... what does that really do for you? Okay, because you're still a 7th place team. You've been a 7th place team all year long, and eventually you need to improve on that. Eventually you need to start making moves up the standings. This is the perfect opportunity to do it. It's the most important stretch of the year, and they need to go like 11-3, 10-4, something like that. Something convincing against the 2 teams that you've been looking up at all year long.
So I'll tell you what, I set 9-5 as a goal going in. I thought that would have been a good 14-game stretch. If they go 5-1 this week, ask me again next week.
Sure.
Okay? So if they can beat the Yankees 3 out of 4 here, that's a good weekend. The only way that I'm upset with 3-1 is if they're up 3-0 and they lose the last one on Sunday night with Sale on the mound. Go for the kill. If you've got them, if you're up 3-0 on Sunday night, and I'm not saying you're going to be there because I have my doubts, then Sunday night you go for the sweep and you don't let them off the hook. Ryan's in Weymouth. He kicks us off tonight on the Baseball Reporters. What do you got, Ryan?
Hey, Tony, thanks for the call.
No, thank you for the call.
Yeah, hey, I've been watching the Sox all year, and last night, that's just one game against the Yankees. Obviously, we know the record. You've said it before, and I believe it leaves you wanting more. And I am that type of homer that I believe now this is the real time of the year, and I believe they're going to step up. I hope they step up. The bullpen definitely needs confidence, maybe with Nathan Eovaldi in there. This should be. He should be a linchpin to help that unit get going. I think the starters are on their way. Eduardo Rodriguez has been excellent this year. He's their ace so far. Sale is stepping up. The offense is one of those things, though, that is a little unnerving. They've been up and down. If they can just continue clutch hitting in the close games, they'll be all right. But I just have a feeling they're going to be all right, Tony. I think they're going to win these games here and coming up in August and September. And they get in the playoffs. They're not scared of no one. Who are they going to be scared of? No one.
Okay, so Ryan, let's worry about that if they get there. Just out of curiosity, let me ask you, does Ryan and Weymouth sound at all like Tom and Quincy?
Ryan and Weymouth is a longtime caller to the Adam Jones program, quite the legendary caller on that show, a favorite.
Oh, he is.
That program. Yes, he is.
So maybe he's not Tom and Quincy disguising his voice.
That I would not believe so. Ryan is, he's his own man, Tony. We'll put it that way.
So, like, it's easy to look at a game last night and go, wow, 19-3, what an ass-kicking. The question is, does the 19-3 really mean anything? So I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you two examples of blowout wins in my memory. Jimmy Stewart probably remembers them. That did mean something, but not for the reasons you think. Also, Dave Dombrowski made some comments yesterday on our competitors, who are the rights holders for the Red Sox broadcast, about the Red Sox needs as the trading deadline approaches. We'll touch on those. He also made an interesting comment about Mookie Betts that I want to get to a little bit later in the program. So 617-779-0985. We'll get to all those things and your calls next on the Baseball Reporters.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The fourth inning obviously started to unravel fairly quickly. Had Stephen Tarpley up early in that inning, but stuck with Tanaka. Is that just a matter of trying to get more out of him, knowing you're limited in the bullpen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're just this time through, obviously, haven't gotten length out of the starters and just being up against it like we are down there. Just trying to work through as best we can right now.
Aaron Boone last night explaining why Masahiro Tanaka was left in that game to take a beating. And this relates to the final score, because under normal circumstances, Tanaka's out of that game in the first inning, maybe early in the fourth after the Yankees have cut it to 7-2. Whatever it is, he comes out and the Yankees have a chance to win the game. Last night, because the Yankees bullpen was so beat up, Aaron Boone decided early on, this guy's going to throw 90 pitches, 100 pitches, no matter what. Okay, they got behind 7-0, and he said, I'm not pulling him now. I'm not going to burn my bullpen again. Game's over. So I just need someone to take a bullet and get some more outs, because otherwise I'm not going to have any relievers for the weekend. So that's why the score got out of hand. That's really why the score got out of hand. I'm going to follow up on that in 1 second, but first, Brian and Pembroke on Masahiro Tanaka. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder, but I just had that question. Does Boone hate him or what? I mean, have you ever seen a guy left out there for that amount of time? That was insane.
Yep, I believe it or not, I have. I have. In fact, I've seen it worse. And when I say worse, not for the beating per se, but I'm going back a ways now. There was a game years ago And again, I'm boring you with story time, but indulge me. There was a game years ago. The Red Sox were playing in Chicago against the White Sox. Their bullpen was toast. It was 96. And Kevin Kennedy was the manager. Tim Wakefield was pitching. Wakefield got his teeth kicked in. And Kennedy went out to the mound. The Red Sox starters have been getting their ass kicked. Kennedy went to the mound in the middle of the game and said to Wakefield, listen, I hate doing this to you, but you got to take a bullet here. You got to take a bullet. Because I'm killing the bullpen and we'll never get out of this slump unless we give the bullpen a rest. Wakefield that night, I think, gave up 10 or 11 runs. He went the distance. I think he threw 160-something pitches. McCarthy, look this up if you would in Wakefield's game log. Okay? 1996, Wakefield in Chicago, 8 innings, 10 runs. I think he threw 160 pitches or something close. Okay? The next night, the Red Sox went on a winning streak. The next night. So I've seen it. And it's not that he hates Tanaka. It's that he's killing his bullpen. The pitching coach, Larry Rothschild, went out to the mound early in the game to tell Tanaka exactly what I just told you.
158.
He threw 158. Okay, I said 160. Did he give up 10 runs or go 8 innings?
6 earned runs, 8 runs, 16 hits, 8 innings.
16 hits. Okay, I remember he got absolutely tattooed. And how many guys did he walk?
3.
Okay, so it's like 19 base runners.
Faced 43 batters.
Okay, Kennedy left him in the whole night. Left him in the whole night, just said, you're going to get walloped tonight.
103 strikes.
Okay, 158 pitches. The team was better off for it. Again, it's one of the real sort of unusual, rare things about baseball versus the other sports. Maybe, and it's maybe not a good thing. But because you have to save your pitchers for the next night, you can blow a game like that and be better off. And that's what Boone did last night. So don't put too much stock in the final score. Here's my question. Jimmy Stewart knows this. The last time I remember the Red Sox and Yankees playing at Fenway Park where a team scored 19 runs in a game was game 3 of the 2004 LCS.
Who could forget?
19-8, the Red Sox lost. They then won 8 in a row, and they won the World Series. And Jimmy knows this. In 2003, the Red Sox beat the Marlins 25-8. 25-8.
They scored 10 runs without recording an out.
First inning.
Yep.
The Marlins won the World Series that year. So don't get all geeked up about 19-3 and start chanting Yankees suck in the ballpark if the Red Sox beat the crap out of them again tonight.
First out was a Nomar pop-up.
Of course, they're already 10 back in the division, 11 in the loss column. Henry in Alabama. Henry, what do you think is going to happen tonight?
I got a feeling that the Sox are going to get no hit like they did with Alabama in Baltimore the other night.
Oh, I love it. So, look, Murray said this earlier in the day. Last weekend in Baltimore, they got killed on Friday night. They won 17-6 on Saturday against the Orioles. And the next day got shut out by a nomadic right-hander who's zipped around from lily pad to lily pad his whole career and shoved the bats down their throats. Henry, you're a smart man. Don't take the cheese.
Yeah, and, like, that's the thing. It's just... they've been so inconsistent. How can you possibly expect them to do anything tonight?
Okay, so look, they might do something tonight. They might. I doubt it because Cashner's on the mound. We'll get more to him later. But it's, of course, they could absolutely beat the crap out of him again tonight. They could beat the crap out of him tomorrow. They could sweep the series. When they show up on Tuesday, tell me that that increases your level of confidence in them. So, like, again, we'll all get swept up in it. We'll get swept up in the winning streak, and ooh, they just beat the Yankees 4 in a row, and it will help. But then would it shock you if they lost 2 out of 3 to Tampa again?
No, not at all, because that's who they've been all year, Mass. Why would you be fooled?
So I ask this question. To me, the only way the Red Sox start to convince me that they've really turned some sort of corner is when they put it together over an extended period of time. And if that term is vague, so be it. So what's an extended period of time? I don't know. Middle of August? Middle of September? The playoffs? I don't know. I'll know when I see it. And I will look at them and I'll say, no, it feels different now. Now it feels different. I like the way, or maybe they pick up someone at the trade deadline, which again is only 5 days away now. The trading deadline's on Wednesday. So 2 games this weekend, 2 more against Tampa, then the trade deadline. No, one against Tampa.
Yeah, Monday's an off day.
Because the deadline will actually come before the Wednesday night game against the Rays. So there'll be a lot of decisions to make in between now and then. Which brings me to Dave Dombrowski, by the way, in the comment that he made yesterday, that he sees no real needs per se on this Red Sox roster. Matt, tell me, go ahead.
It's awful. But you know what? That's Dave Dombrowski being Dave Dombrowski. Well, I built a good team. This should work better. That's Dave Dombrowski being egotistical. That's not him, you know, being coy and, well, you know, I don't want to, you know, give away too much. Don't want to show my cards before the deadline. No, that's not him being that at all. That's Dave Dombrowski thinking he's built a great team.
Okay, so wait, do you think it's that, or do you think it's that they don't want to go over the luxury tax?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I think his personality is absolutely a reason why. And the fact that he feels that he built a good team, which on paper, for the most part, he did. But still, this is him being unwilling to admit that things aren't working out.
The bullpen sucks, man.
Right.
The bullpen sucks. And we all know the bullpen sucks. And Dombrowski knows the bullpen sucks.
Yeah, but he's not going to admit that.
So would it shock you if they made a deal then by Wednesday at 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whenever it is? Jimmy, is the deadline at 4 o'clock on Wednesday?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
Generally.
Well, it's at 4 o'clock.
So would it surprise you if the Red Sox made a deal by 4 o'clock on Wednesday, Matt?
Yes, it would.
It would?
I'd be surprised.
Oh, so it wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. It wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. Because I think some of what Dombrowski's doing is bullcrap, because 90% of what comes out of his mouth is bullcrap. So I think that, I don't know, maybe the cost for relievers are high. Maybe they're going to add some other bum out there. Maybe they don't have the money to add a good pitcher, which is why they're really not going to do it. But I don't think anybody could look at this relief core and think that all of a sudden, somehow, everything's fine. And the fact that Andrew Cashner was their first solution this year should tell you plenty. Right? Really. Should tell you plenty.
Didn't they do the same thing last year? We thought the bullpen was a problem last year, and the only person who didn't think so was Dave Dombrowski.
So at least Nathan Eovaldi had stuff.
Okay. All right. Cashner has stuff too, but he sucks.
Not really, though. Yeah. Not really.
But Tony, the history of Dave Dombrowski at the trade deadline is he gets his shopping done early.
So that's true, Jimmy, right?
Pomerantz, Eovaldi, Pierce, now Cashner. It's usually around the All-Star break.
So when did Eovaldi happen last year? Can you look that one up?
Eovaldi happened a good 2 weeks before the deadline.
Was it that early?
Yeah, it was probably, I don't know, July 20th or shortly before that. I'll find that for you.
Okay, 617-779-0985 on the Baseball Reporters. Alex Cora had something to say about Xander Bogaerts tonight that in one sense I found humorous.
July 25th.
The other, this whole week
July
before.
July 10th. Oh, sorry. No, never mind. That's a
Jalen
wrong date.
Beeks.
Okay, yeah, no, that's right, Jalen Beeks. So I was saying that Alex Cora said something about Xander Bogaerts tonight that made me laugh, that made me roll my eyes, that actually made me nod in agreement. All of those things.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What he's going to mean to the history of the organization. You know, it's been a revolving door since 04 as far as the shortstop position. And now, boom, we got our guy and the organization has it. And I, you know, the way he acts here, the way he talks to the media, on and off the field, and what he does, I was like, man, I hope this guy, you know, he stays here, and I'm glad it happened, you know. But knowing who represents him, I had my doubts at one point, yeah.
Alex Cora talking about Xander Bogaerts. I told you that comment, I had a number of reactions to it. On the one hand, I chuckled, and on the other hand, I rolled my eyes, And on the other hand, I nodded in agreement. Okay, I'll explain all those. Again, that is Cora on Xander Bogaerts, but first, Carl and Grafton on the Red Sox and Yankees. Go ahead, Carl.
Just wanted to talk. I mean, this series for the Red Sox, I think, is crucial.
It is.
Like, they can really keep pace and be in the wild card and just hover. Like, if the Yankees start, the Yankees have been playing amazing lately. I think you kind of know my allegiance around baseball, but I mean, as a fan, this still is an exciting race because if they take four out in a row, something about these late July games in Fenway, the Yankees have lost like a bunch of them. I just wanted to hear your opinion, kind of thing. If you think the Red Sox could still, maybe not the division, but you know, hang around and be a nuisance at least to the Yankees and be there in case they really falter. I'll hang up and hear what you got to say. Thanks.
Yeah. So, Carl, look, I think the division's done. I think the division's over. And I said this last year in August. A lot of people got mad at me because then the Red Sox went into a little bit of a slump. But I thought when the Red Sox kicked the crap out of the Yankees in early August last year, I said the division was over. And again, a lot of people conveniently forget that because they said I doubted the Red Sox all year long. I doubted their ability to win a world championship is what I doubted. In August, I conceded the division was over. This year, the division's over. They're not catching New York. Now, you say, can they be a nuisance to the Yankees? I think they can be more than that. They can win a wild card spot. They should win a wild card spot. They should be in the playoffs. They should win the play-in game. And then I don't know who they'd get in the division series. That could be a tough matchup. But honestly, I could see them getting to the LCS. And they should be in the LCS. They should be one of the top two teams in the league. They have the highest payroll in baseball. So I don't think that that's asking too much. And if they play to their ceiling, at least with the exception of the bullpen, they can absolutely make noise. There's no two ways about it. So last night, good sign. Yeah, it was a good game. But we all know it's about repeating it over and over and over again for the Red Sox. That's what it's about. It's about repeating it. As for Cora's comment on Xander Bogaerts, these things show up in our system and they have a slug on them, and when I say a slug, a title as to what the comment is about. Jimmy, could you read me the slug on what it says, Cora, on Bogaerts?
What Bogaerts will mean to the history of the Red Sox, written by James Stewart.
Okay, what Bogaerts will mean to the history of the Red Sox. I saw that and went, you've got to be kidding me. We're talking about this now? About Xander Bogaerts' a place in the history of the Red Sox organization? Like, just now he's starting to really become what we thought he was going to become, and this is going to be what the comment is about? Like, someone asked Cora about what Bogaerts means to the history of the Red Sox? I thought, this is asinine. This is the part that got me to roll my eyes, even if it wasn't necessarily Cora talking about it. The part that got me to chuckle is what Cora said at the very end. Jimmy, play that part again, if you would, if we could do that. I know I'm throwing you sort of the wall.
He's going to mean to the history of the organization. You know, it's been a revolving door since 04 as far as the shortstop position. And now, boom, we got our guy, and the organization has it. And I, you know, the way he acts here, the way he talks to the media, on and off the field, and what he does, I was like, man, I hope this guy, you know, he stays here, and I'm glad they have him. You know, but knowing who represents him, I had my doubts at one point. Yeah.
That's the part that got me to chuckle. Knowing who represents him, I had my doubts. Yeah, Boris is an a-hole. Boris is an a-hole. We all know how that goes. He takes everybody to free agency. I wasn't sure we were going to keep him. That's what Cora's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. That's the part that got me to laugh. The part that got me to nod my head in agreement, look at what this guy's become. Look at what he's become. I hope this isn't just the best year of his career. And when I say that, I mean, let's hope that he's able to repeat this. Xander Bogaerts right now has as many home runs as he hit all of last year. He hit his 22nd and 23rd last night. And the 22nd was a smash. And I felt this way about Bogaerts from the beginning, his power, that he had the capacity at his position to hit 25 to 30 home runs. I might have been low. Because at this rate, he should hit well over 30. And I say well over, between 30 and 35. In two-thirds of the season, he's hit 23. So that means he should hit another, what, 11-ish? 35 home run season, not out of the realm of possibility for this guy. And I know the ball is jacked. But even so, let's just hope we don't look back on it and say he had the best year of his career in 2019. Because I'd like to think that Xander Bogaerts can repeat it. And the leadership thing, that is real. The leadership thing with Bogaerts is real. Unlike somebody who plays right field. Which brings me to a comment by Dave Dombrowski here in the last day or so. And again, this was on his interview with the with our competitors who are the rights holders. Someone asked him about the prospect of trading Mookie Betts at this deadline and the speculation on the Red Sox and Mookie Betts and the contract and everything else. Here's what Dave Dombrowski said. Ever trading any player? I've always said you always consider trading any player you possibly have. When I was with Detroit, Miguel Cabrera was the MVP, and you're in the position where he won the Triple Crown. I used to say, would I trade Miguel Cabrera? Yeah, I would trade Miguel Cabrera, because if you could get two Miguel Cabreras for one, you would do that. So it doesn't happen very often, but you have to be open-minded. So sure, could you ever do that with any player? The answer would be yes. Is it likely? Most likely not. But again, you can never tell what happens with any particular player. You take anything out of that, Matt?
I think that's a message to Betts. This offseason, we're going to approach you with a contract. If we can't come to an agreement, we're interested or we would consider trading you. I thought that was a message to Betts first and foremost.
So look, now the part about, see, a minute ago I said Dave Dombrowski's full of crap 95% of the time or 90% of the time. I actually think he's telling the truth here.
I agree.
And I give him credit for this. Most guys get asked about a franchise player like a Mike Trout, and Mookie's close. He's not Mike Trout, but Mookie's close to being a franchise player. Frankly, I think in some ways, Bogaerts has a more appealing offensive skill set to me.
Agreed.
Because he can drive the ball out of the ballpark to the opposite field. Not with like J.D. Martinez power, but he can hit the bullpens.
There are no holes in his swing.
Okay, so I look at Mookie and I say I know how to pitch Mookie Betts when he's hot, and I know how you can get him out. With Bogaerts, I'm not so sure there's the same answer. But, like, it's honest to say, well, look, if someone makes me a stupid offer, I'll trade anybody. That's the right answer. It should absolutely be that answer. And so this offseason, it might not even take that. The Red Sox are going to have to make a call on Mookie. Everybody should get ready for it because I think there's a good chance they're going to move him in the offseason. I'm just going on my gut. I don't have any inside information or anything even remotely close. Okay? I'm just telling you that I'm doing the math. His contract's up. He's a supremely gifted player. He doesn't want to be here. They've tried to re-sign him. He won't sign. So why would you keep him? Why would you let a guy like that walk out the door and get nothing for him? When Bogaerts looks like more of a middle-of-the-order bat than Betts does, and now Devers has evolved and developed into this force in the middle of the lineup.
Two foundational pieces, and this is who Xander Bogaerts was supposed to be. Let's not forget that Xander Bogaerts was supposed to be an impactful middle-of-the-order bat for years to come. He is fully developed into that at the age of 26. He's going to continue. I fully believe that Bogaerts is going to give you this type of production for the next 3 to 4 years. I can expect that Devers will give you this type of production for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. He's only 22 years old. Those are your 3-4 hitters or 2-3 hitters for years to come. That allows you to go out and trade Mookie Betts, restock your farm system, get some young pitching because you can't develop that. You've developed Bogaerts, you've developed Betts, you've developed Devers, you develop hitters at a crazy good rate, and you've developed excellent middle-of-the-order bats, two of them, right now in the last 5 years. You can trade Betts and you can get a starter because of those two guys that you've developed alongside him.
You know what? I want to do a little poll right here. Jimmy Stewart, the intern, Chris. Chris, are you a baseball fan? Okay, I'm sure I've asked you that before. Didn't I ask you that on the air once?
He says yes.
Yeah, I just have a really bad memory. I'm not kidding. My recall's horrible. Billy Lanny, I want you to participate. Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm a fifth vote. If you had to pick right now, MVP of the Red Sox, who do you pick?
Xander Bogaerts.
Xander Bogaerts. Xander Bogaerts by Chris. Billy says Rafael Devers.
Okay. 3-1 Bogaerts, huh? You guys suck. I was hoping you'd pick Devers. Bogaerts is the MVP of the team.
Well, Billy's vote counts for five, so Devers wins.
So listen, it's close, though. Billy's not wrong. I mean, the reason, you know, it's damn close.
In the same way that Youkilis was the MVP the year that Pedroia won it.
So I'll tell you what, let's look at it. Runs scored. Bogaerts 82, Devers 82. Hits. Devers 131, Bogaerts 123. Doubles. 31, Devers, 33, Bogaerts. Xander doesn't have a triple. Devers has three. Home runs. Bogaerts, 23. Devers, 21. RBI. Devers, 81. Bogaerts, 80. Stolen bases. Devers, 8. Bogaerts, 3. Devers has more steals. Batting average.
That's a good thing. That means Xander isn't running to stupid outs.
Okay, but Devers has also been thrown out 6 times. Bogaerts only been thrown out once.
You're making my point.
Devers has run a lot more. Batting average, Devers 323, Bogaerts 315. On base, Devers 376, Bogaerts 400. Slugging, Devers 569, Bogaerts 575. They're virtually identical in everything.
Except the OPS is going to be a little bit different, edge Bogaerts.
By 30 points, 975 to 945. Okay, and for all you nerds, you geeks.
Don't give me war. Don't give me war. Please don't give me war.
War.
What is it good for?
War.
What is it good for?
3.9 to 3.9.
Absolutely nothing. Say it again.
Dead heat.
What's his WRC plus?
3.9 to 3.9 in war.
Can I get a UZR, Maz?
Yeah, what's his zone rating?
So you know why I get Bogaerts the edge?
Because he can field the position well?
Yeah. Well, he plays shortstop.
A more important position, and I think he's the leader of this team.
He plays shortstop. And so I just, you know, to me, that's why. It's close, though. I mean, if Devers were the shortstop and Bogaerts are the third baseman, I'd tell you we're Devers. It's really amazing what those two guys are doing now. Mookie Betts overplayed his hand, at least in Boston. But then again, if he doesn't want to be here, so be it.
Blame David Price.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters at 8.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.